Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Life.
Love.
And health.
How do you learn to be an effective, even powerful patient and articulate your needs and expectations when you're having a face-to-face conversation with your doctor? And while you're thinking about that answer, how is your doctor trained as a participant in what is called shared decision-making, which is often perceived of as a bit of a negotiation? Well, I'm Christopher Springman, and this is Your Life, Love, and Health. Our next guest understands this dilemma from both sides of the table. He is Dr. Dominic Frosch, PhD, and Associate Investigator at the Palo Alto Medical Foundation Research Institute. Please, doctor, tell us about your patient survey and what patients, caregivers, and loved ones can learn from this that will help them be more effective consumers of medical services. First of all, welcome to Life, Love, and Health.
Yeah. Thank you, Christopher. That's a good question. And what I would say is one of the things we need to be concerned about as we try to change the way our healthcare system functions and how doctors and patients make choices about their care is that the burden for these changes and what needs to happen does not only lie on the side of the patient. So the patient can do some things to tell the doctor what is important to them, to let them know when they have concerns about what's being discussed, and oftentimes it probably would help if they have that kind of discussion early on in a relationship with a physician. But there's a lot of things we think that really need to happen also on the side of the physician and the healthcare system at large. So one of the key issues that physicians worry about, and is certainly a very valid concern, is that they don't have much time, and that the amount of time that they're going to have with each patient is not likely to increase in the future. Meanwhile, what we also have is a system that really doesn't reward physicians for good counseling. So in our fee-for-service system that still prevails in many parts of where people get health care, where doctors are getting paid to do things rather than provide good counseling, we really don't have it well aligned in terms of what our goals are in terms of getting patients involved in making choices and what physicians are paid for doing. And one of the issues that needs to be addressed is that the incentives for physicians are simply not there to provide good counseling.
Now, when you say incentives, do you mean compensation?
How they get paid, how they earn their salary, how they earn their pay as physicians. They get to bill different things that they do, but good counseling is not one of the things that they can easily bill for.
Were physicians trained in medical school, and we're getting back to curriculum, which is the core, were physicians trained to be good listeners and have a fairly open and candid conversation with people and be an active listener?
Well, so in the past, I think it's clear and easy to say that was not the case. That is changing, but it's probably still changing pretty slowly. But increasingly, medical schools are putting more of an emphasis on listening skills, on better doctoring, having a different kind of bedside relationship with the patient. But more of that needs to happen. And the measures that are used to measure the performance of physicians also need to focus on these issues.
Well, in terms of shared decision making, how does one measure patient engagement and of the degree to which healthcare decisions truly reflect patient preferences in terms of quantifying results, potential outcomes, and patient satisfaction?
Right. So I'm not sure we have the answer quite to that yet. There are a number of measures out there, certainly, that are used to measure patient satisfaction. But whether or not those really capture the patient engagement in making decisions about their care is not clear, and I don't think most of those do yet. We have research tools that we can use for research studies to measure these things, but we haven't figured out yet how to apply those kinds of measures to what happens in everyday care and not just in larger, more complicated research studies. So that is an area where we need some work so that some of the performance measures that are used to determine how much a doctor gets paid actually reflect these things about how well they've done in engaging the patient and making choices about their care.
So the patient is sitting there wondering if indeed they're worth it in terms of the amount of time that the individual is spending with them. Now, there's also a differentiation between physicians who receive compensation, let's say from Medicare or Medicaid, and also physicians who charge a fee for services, i.e., we don't take insurance. What's the difference?
Well, so I think that the key distinction is that there are some physicians that practice in systems where they're not being paid based on the individual services that they've done, but they just receive a salary.
Well, I would like to think that the Kaiser system here in California, of which I am a member, is that kind of organization.
That is exactly right. So Kaiser is a very good example of that kind of organization. But in the United States right now, that sort of organization where physicians are paid on a salary is still the exception rather than the rule. The majority of physicians are still being paid on a case-by-case basis for individual things that they can bill for. And so there, again, within that system, we need to think about how they can also bill for good counseling.
So are you suggesting, well, maybe I'm suggesting that one's choice of an HMO versus, let's say, a PPO could make a difference in the quality of care? Is that an assumption on my part?
You know, that's a question that I'm not sure I can answer because I'm not an expert on the different kinds of insurance models, but I think, you know, the insurance isn't so much the issue as to the organization where healthcare is delivered. Now, sometimes those things are linked together with insurance. So if you're a member of Kaiser, you're insured through Kaiser and you can only see Kaiser physicians. On the other hand, I can have HMO insurance but still go to an organization where physicians are largely billed on the amount of services they provide, even though what they're charging for the service they've provided to me may not be billed quite that way.
Let's move on a bit beyond simple economics here. You know, we have the Affordable Care Act of 2010 coming on board with another, I don't know, 34 million Americans who were uninsured in 2011 coming into the system, and they'll be insured starting in 2014. Does this add a complicating factor, and should that perhaps provide incentive for people to be more passionate, well-informed patients and to take more, well, a greater sense of responsibility and accountability for their own care?
Yeah, so I think, I mean, a lot of what we're talking about is for people to be more engaged in their care. And we certainly know from a variety of conditions, especially chronic diseases like diabetes, that if you're more engaged in your care, you're going to do better in the long term in terms of how your health is.
In other words, you may even live longer, literally.
That's exactly right, and you'll probably have a better quality of life. But at the same time, what needs to happen here is for our system, the healthcare system in which we all receive our care, for that to make it easier for you to have that active role in making choices about your care and taking good care of yourself.
Well, to some extent, patients have to demand excellent care and state their expectations and their concerns, you know, loves, fears, dreams, and not be intimidated in the presence of a physician while still being properly respectful. Is that a fair conclusion on my part?
I think that is a fair conclusion. And the one thing that I will add to that, though, is that at the same time, oftentimes people believe that healthcare is capable of doing things that it may not be able to do.
Yes.
And so I think one of the things and one of the potential tensions in here is that there are limits to what medicine can do. And sometimes what it's really about is also for the healthcare provider to be open and honest with the patient about those limits and for the patient to be able to accept that those limits exist.
Well, the first thing people can do is take notes, ask if they can record the conversation, perhaps bring a friend, a loved one, a companion along as an extra set of ears. Contact the physician with a very, very short list of concerns. Please do that in advance and not necessarily take charge of the conversation or the transaction, but be a very active participant. Would you agree, Dr. Frosch?
I absolutely would agree, and I think a good thing that people can do is have a clear agenda, bring it into the visit, the consultation with your doctor, and state it right up front.
Dr. Frosch, thank you so much for joining us today on Life, Love, and Health on Radio MD. It has been a great pleasure.
Thank you.
I'm Christopher Springman. Thanks for listening.